Hey there, folks. Tex the Black Pants Legion here. Yes, we're working on the next Tex Talks Battletech, but this one here is going to be a special. An in-between episode. This episode is something that had to be said and had to be said today of all days. Those of you who know why are smiling. Those of you who don't, well, buckle up. Here comes an education. Today is not a talk about a machine. Today is a celebration. Today is May the 20th. Today, we remember the Battle of Tukiid. May the 20th, 3052 ended a battle, and in essence, a war. In a single contest of will, manpower, supplies, and crazy, the clan invasion was stopped dead on a formerly sleepy agricultural world. A world that was chosen as a proxy battle site in a desperate attempt to trick the clans into stopping their war machine in its tracks by taking advantage of their stupid, stupid ways. After all, the stakes were as high as they could be. By 3052, the clans were making great conquests of the Inner Sphere, nearly annihilating Rosalhag and threatening the capital of the Draconis Combine, a threat so serious the DCMS lightened their death-to-all-mercenary stance just a tad. It was assumed that if this war continued, the Inner Sphere would be a dominion of the clans within a few short years. The great houses, while having a numerical advantage, were struggling to defend themselves. This, for them, was a different kind of war. Their seemingly inadequate equipment and frontline combatants melted time and again in the face of clan discipline, superior training, and people bred for conflict just like this. When it became apparent that Terra was the primary invasion objective, Comstar stepped out of the shadows and decided to act. Comstar could no longer fence-sit and facilitate. Comstar had to roll up its sleeves and show the clanners who was boss. Comstar, being the shifty fucks they are, decided to abuse the system. This is called asymmetrical strategic planning. In layman's terms, this is called tactical fuckery. So Comstar, being Comstar and having studied their opponents in detail, they decided to bring the clans to a single point and annihilate them. In 3052, Comstar issued a Batch-All. Batch-All in Clanner speak is a direct challenge, a contest of wills to be won. And this was a challenge that the clans could not, without significant loss of honor, pass up. Comstar openly challenged the invading clans to the following. Fight on a chosen world, in this case, Tukiid. The clans would be invited to bring their very best. Comstar would bring theirs. Each clan would have two cities as objectives. If the clans could conquer and hold them, they would win. Comstar would act as the defenders and would try to contest the objectives with all they had. If the clans won, Comstar would make no challenge to the clan conquest. If the clans were to lose, however, they would have to obey a 15-year truce on their honor to halt all further invasion from a delineation line set at Tukiid. To this direct challenge, the clanners agreed. This was bargained and done. After all, how could they refuse a direct challenge from a jumped-up telecom company pretending to be the inheritors of Star League? The nerve on those bastards. As it turns out, underestimating Comstar would be about as smart as letting Michael Vick babysit your dog. Immediately, clanners begin to bargain internally for the privilege of drop order, or who gets to hit the planet first and how much shit they intend to bring. This was a contest in itself, bidding forces in order of battle, in order to out-honor the honorable honor for honor's sake. Honor on the side, hold the honor with extra honor. Some clanners even did almost a third-grade level of homework on their opposing commander, Comstar's own Anastasius Focht. The clanners dismissed him as a paper general, someone with no military experience, leading an army of bureaucrats driving machines they couldn't understand from an era long gone. The clanners thought he was nothing more than a pretender, a joke, a noble in the guise of a soldier. He was to them a non-threat, leading an army of children, pretending at war. The clans had brought their best and brightest. To answer a call of this extraordinary magnitude, they fielded their best commanders and most elite battle-hardened soldiers. They brought forward their best mechs and equipment from the invasion corridors. They would take to this field of battle with their Khans leading from the front. This was their greatest challenge of the era. This was their finest hour. They realized this would be a glorious battle sung for generations, a tipping point in their history. Oh, how right they were. You have to understand, this was what Clanners had wanted, a triumph of their way of life, their society, their ethos versus the barbarians they intended to conquer. Above all, honor was on the line. It was a challenge to everything they stood for, and defeat seemed impossible. Finally, the Inner Sphere had the grit to actually obey their correct rules of combat and issue a challenge to determine this all in a reasonable manner. A reasonable manner to a Clanner. Finally, the Inner Sphere would play by their rules. But, as it turns out, where the Clan was concerned with honor and protocol, Comstar was concerned with, well, winning. On the defense, Comstar brought everything they had. Protocols of ancient technologies were unsealed, opened, and emptied, and pressed into the hands of untested, but well-trained and semi-green pilots. Some of these pilots took to the field in weapons that had in many cases not been used in 300 years. For this titanic conquest, Comstar emptied every garrison in the Inner Sphere except Terra. Comstar dedicated 12 entire armies to the field of battle, and was prepared to lose them all to save Terra alone. And while the Comm Guards were an admittedly untested force of green pilots, they had excellent training and knew the stakes. If they could win just this once, they would stop the invasion. Because Clanners didn't know how to engage in takesies-backsies with any level of aptitude and just invade anyways if they lost. But if Comstar lost and mangled the Clan war machine, they could buy time for reinforcements from the Great Houses. Either way, Comstar was going into the battle knowing this would be a meat grinder. Even with their equipment being close to battle parity, they would be the underdog, and this would be their Alamo. The order of battle for 3052 is well documented. This is the Clan drop order for Tukiid and their objectives. And the battle that unfolded was apocalyptic. The planet-wide battle lasted from the 1st of May to the 20th. For 20 days, the fate of the Inner Sphere was held in the balance as a telecom company fought invaders from beyond the sphere. And how they did it is really something else. Comstar may be a lot of things, crazy, duplicitous, deceptive, all-knowing, quasi-religious fanatics, but they had very little practical experience in warfare. In fact, prior to this point, Comstar more or less had to eliminate problems using the old Soviet method. Comstar was, beneath everything else, an information-based organization and drew on history for the direction for this battle. Comstar opted for defense in depth, also known as an elastic defense, also known as a castle defense, or in the modern era as a hippity-hoppity get-off-my-property, and pulled out all stops by using a series of rapid, unending hit-and-run engagements against the invaders. The defense was dependent on hitting the Clanners at every opportunity, ambushing them, then retreating, hitting and fading, and pushing them to the breaking point all the while. Clanners had the advantage in mobility and equipment. Double heat sinks negate a lot of heat, so the Inner Sphere had to push them all that much harder. And as soon as the Clanners mustered a counterattack, the Inner Sphere would fade away, leading to the next offensive point, and then engage again. So every time the Clanners paused to think, they dropped artillery and airstrikes on their head. Every time they paused to survey a path, they were hit by marauding scout vehicles, mechs, VTOLs, aerospace assets, or even more artillery. Sometimes Comstar would let Clanner scout vehicles pass the main body and then snap to ambush the main column advance, cutting scouts off and surprising the hell out of everyone. Prepared defenses allowed Comstar to achieve a spectacular success in defense in depth. All battle preparations were for rapid redeployment of forces, reconsolidation of damaged units, and hardened defensive points to force clanners to battle. Even the ground was prepared in advance for this bloodbath. Every bridge was rigged to blow or set to sabotage. Concealed bunkers along every attack route provided excellent firing points and served as effective anchors for defense in depth. Entire cities were completely covered into elaborate kill zones. Every access corridor was a trap. Every road was a potential minefield. Every field of planted grain potentially sown with explosives or concealing weapon systems. Clanners had to worry that behind every blade of grass was a rifle barrel, a bayonet, a missile, a tank, an artillery piece, or a mech. Comstar had prepared the planet into an enormous killing field, and when the battle commenced, the Com Guards hit them like a vengeful god. And how did the clan manage in the face of all this? Let me tell you a story. When Clan Smoke Jaguar hit the planet, they landed with two full galaxies of units. This is the equivalent of several brigades of power armor-wearing, nightmare-fuel-drinking, eugenics-born stormtroopers, psychotic mech pilots devoid of all human emotion but hate and pride, and the leadership needed to drive these tools into the heart of the enemy with zero hesitation. And Comstar completely ruined them by exploiting terrain, prepared defensive positions, and in one spectacular instance, getting them to advance through a seemingly undefended pass, only to spring an ambush and turn it into a shooting gallery. Comstar fighting Smoke Jaguar was like the Harlem Globetrotters versus third graders. When Smoke Jaguar gave up and left the planet, with full material losses calculated in, they lost all but 22% of their equipment. 32% of their total committed forces were killed outright. More were horrifically mangled and damaged beyond any use to the Clan War Machine. The Jaguars had kept fighting, thinking that they had almost annihilated their enemies, because who could stand against them? They were Smoke Jaguar. They were goaded into yet one more attack, one more stand, one more battle, over and over and over again, because they believed they were on the verge of victory, and every time Comstar would hit them all the harder. Smoke Jaguar could not conceive of an enemy that could stand up to their might. Well, Comstar did, and succeeded. And they didn't stop there. When Clan Novacat decided to land troops and equipment using a spectacular demonstration of the incredibly effective hover drop maneuver, showing off their elite skill before their enemies on the field of battle, Comstar decided enough was enough and ruined their air show. How? Comstar blitzed aerospace assets in, attacked and kamikazed the drop ships. In an instant, Novacat lost Alpha Galaxy's command ship, and the rest were immediately grounded. In this confusion, Comstar gained air superiority, and guess how that went? They turned the landing zone into a turkey chute. After the Com Guards easily managed to maintain air superiority over the drop zones and shot the living bejesus out of the Clanners as they tried to forge a beachhead, leaving the Novacats in short supply with extreme difficulties in maintaining any effective communication, command, and control. As it turns out, it's hard to do any of the above while getting your ass handed to you by crazy people. The Com Guards then launched an all-out kamikaze attack while the Novacats were busy trying to capture Comstar Depot. Why? They were out of supplies. At a tremendous loss, Novacat was pushed off the planet. Why? Comstar threw everything they had at them while they had their backs turned. Of their invasion force, 3 Novacat stars survived. That's 15 mechs out of an invasion force. It was a near total wipe, and that's not the worst beating that was delivered. When Clan Diamond Shark landed, they had an army. When they left, it was gone. A memory. An entire invasion force relegated to the past tense. Later, when Steel Viper landed, they were goaded by Comstar into continuing their attack to such a point that they ran out of ammunition, until they ran into the 321st and 401st Com Guards, who had plenty, and decided to share it with them at gunpoint. Steel Viper lost so hard their con resigned, and on and on and on it went. Every time a Clanner commander tried to back down, a Comstar commander would issue a challenge to get them to do stupid things. Then Comstar would be waiting there with enough forces to jump on them like amphetamine-soaked circus monkeys. The Clanners were unprepared for a war like this. This was not a war they had ever fought before. And thanks to Comstar's success, it was not a war they would ever fight again. Comstar didn't falter. They knew the cost of this. They bulldozed the corpses of their fallen comrades out of the way and kept attacking. When a Klenner unit was spotted, something was flying at it. Artillery, rockets, missiles, aerospace assets, VTOLs, tanks, infantry, whatever was at hand was put on that problem until it stopped. Comstar ground its own forces down on the clans, knowing that no matter how fancy their crap was, you could still die if you tried hard enough. And, in the end, the clans lost. Only Clan Wolf managed to achieve its stated objectives. Ghost Bear and Jade Falcon took a draw. Every single other clan flatly lost. And not just lost. Some were eradicated in all but name. By guess, it's roughly estimated that Clanners lost 40% of their committed fighting forces, and many more were horribly damaged. This would be bad enough for any army, considering that it would take them out of the fight for years even if their resupply and supporting logistics were on the front lines with them. Which they weren't. They were all the way back in Clanner space. But this is one step worse. This isn't just Clanner rank and file, this is the best they fucking had. They had brought out their very best with their most promising commanders, only to be utterly annihilated. They lost more than they could ever hope to replace in such a short time. They lost irreplaceable weapons, manpower, entire generations of their finest, to include two Khans on the field of battle. The Green Comguards managed to grind the Clan War machine to a damn halt by throwing their bodies into the fray and fighting until they died screaming. Every time a Comguard was gunned down, another stepped up to take their place. Mech after mech, tank after tank, infantryman after infantryman. From PPC to bayonet, Comstar fought them and died for every inch of soil. Needless to say, Comstar's losses were beyond count. As it turns out, if you fight a war like Zhukov, you're going to lose a few people. This defeat changed the clans. It rocked them. It upset their way of everything. It changed their culture. Some clans changed the way they viewed the Inner Sphere and became wardens instead of crusaders. Some clans had lost their entire command and control on the fields of battle. Some lost all of their functional equipment in the invasion corridor, removing them as a power for years to come. Some had lost every great warrior and every promising warrior for a generation. Clans like Steel Viper would make themselves feel better by deciding to crusade against the Jade Falcons and, well, sorting things out through hurt feelings. Clans like Diamond Shark would find themselves suddenly in a better place as their warrior caste more or less disappeared overnight, only to be replaced by a very forward-thinking, friendly, and diplomatic merchant caste. Some clans would look at the Inner Sphere in silent awe, wondering why this had happened in the first place. They were confused. What had they gained? Why did they fight this way? Their opponent had invited them to fight, and it was a fight they foolishly underbid and lost because their honor demanded it. It was a fight they lost because honor was more important than strategic vision. And sadly, it was a battle they lost to a glorified, self-important, fanatical telecommunications company. And this victory was everything to the Inner Sphere. Mostly it gave a sense of unity to the Inner Sphere, for a time anyways. They would later undo this in record time. However, on the technical side, the scrap and salvage recovery would bolster engineering, research, and design efforts in the Inner Sphere for years to come. And now, the opinion of an asshole. Why the clan lost wasn't purely for honor's sake, though. That played a part. A crap culture plus a crap value system equals crap battle theory. However, the Clanners weren't only undone by their cultural ideology. They were undone by an asshole exploiting it. Remember Fogt? Anastasius Fogt? The bureaucrat general playing war? Turns out he wasn't a bureaucrat. And truth be told, that wasn't even his real name. He was born Frederick Steiner. He was at one point the scion of House Steiner. He was a hero and a mad bastard. He was an accomplished leader and commander of men, and not without a dark side. His dangerous path through life led him to take a new name and become reborn as Anastasius Vogt after burning his bridges as a Steiner royal. He was handed over to Comstar, and with his new name came new duties. Through Comstar, he became a defender of the Inner Sphere, a commander of men again. He was a phenomenal military mind before his rebirth, and was at core a soldier and little else. With the resources of Comstar and their omnipresent intelligence operations, he was the perfect man to win at Tukiit. He knew that to defeat an enemy, you had to overpower them, outsmart them, and in the end, crush them. He was so driven to flatly destroy enemies that all of his opponents throughout his life considered him to be completely incapable of subtlety. He was more than ready to throw bodies at a problem until the problem went away. He knew the enemy could not replace losses too easily, and clearly saw the means to cripple the Clan War Machine. As a man, he hated politics, he hated social courtesy, he hated protocol, he hated honor and bowing. He only liked war. And the Clanners made the worst mistake possible you can make when looking at an opponent. They dismissed him as a joke and failed to respect him, and for that, he fucking broke them. For the end, I'll turn to a quote from the man himself. Wars are not won on the field of combat. Battles are. But those are only ever part of the story. To win a war, you need to break the enemy's resolve to force him to accept defeat. Otherwise, the war will never end. Too many conflicts persist because battles are won, but the hearts and minds of the people are not. Winning involves every level of society. From the generals and the politicians to the shop girls and the street cleaners, the infantryman with his rifle may be the blunt weapon used to win this fight, but he is neither the instigator nor the concluder. TLDR, the clans brought their best. And Space AT&T said, get bent, weirdo. Next time, though, we'll get back to what I promised, a space story. Catch fuck off with the laser pointer.
It's a laser sight. These future guns kick ass.
I don't care, you could put someone's eye out.
Okay, fine. It turns out, that's not a safety. The more you know...
God damn it, Catch.
Oh, give me a locus where the gravitons focus, where the three-body problem is solved, where the microwaves play down at 3 degrees K, and the cold virus never evolved. Home, home on LaGrange, where the space debris always collects. We possess, so it seems, two of man's greatest dreams, solar power and zero G sex. We eat algae pie, our vacuum is high, our ball bearings are perfectly round, our horizon is curved, our warheads are merged, and a kilogram weighs half a pound. Home, home on LaGrange, where the space debris always collects. We possess, so it seems, two of man's greatest dreams, solar power and zero G sex. If we run out of space for our burgeoning race, no more Lebensraum left for the Mensch. When we're ready to start, we will take Mars apart, if we just find a big enough wrench. Home, home on LaGrange, space debris always collects. We possess, so it seems, two of man's greatest dreams, solar power and zero G sex. I'm sick of this place, it's just McDonald's and space, and living up here is a bore. Now the Shiggies don't cry, they can kiss me goodbye, 'cause I'm moving next week to L4. Home, home on LaGrange, where the space debris always collects. We possess, so it seems, two of man's greatest dreams, solar power and zero G sex.
Hippity hoppity, get off my property.